Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What's Your Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you. Hi, Becky. Welcome to What's Your Next podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be back.
I'm so excited to have you back. Tell us what you've been up to.
Nothing much. No, but I mean, like, you know, just doing the podcast, reading, that's about it. I'm not working as a I'm a non-working writer and actor at the moment. So it's like, you know, that's how I'm answering everyone's questions of like, what do you do? So just a lot of reading. Yeah.
You're in a period of fun employment, which I would say those are the best periods of time where it's just, you know, where creative strikes, where you're just taking a self-rest, reset, you know.
Yes, I am doing a reset. It's like, it's nice, but at the same time, it's also like, you can get into those spirals of like, oh my God, what if nothing ever happens to me? I'm stuck here. Like, am I going to have to move, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. I've been there. I don't think I mentioned this, but about 10 years ago, I left a career that I thought I was going to die in it.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm.
And I became a professional temp. And so by that, I mean, I went through bouts of unemployment. I called them fun employment. I went because I quit jobs for no reason. Like, I was like, oh, I don't like to do this. I'll quit it. You know?
Yeah.
I don't like this person. I quit it. Like, it was like one of those things where, and so I remember like I have anxiety. So like, you know, taking that leap over and over and over, show me that no matter what, you're going to be fine. No matter what, like whatever decision you make, it's just a redirection and it's going to take care of it. But that those periods of time, those empty periods where there was like nothing, and there would be months where I was like, no work, you know?
Yeah. Where yeah.
The most creative, fulfilling period of time at the same time. They allow me to try different things. They allow me to experiment. They allow me to get to know other people and like try on different communities and like put myself out there. And so I miss those periods. And like, I am working towards retirement, you know, in that sense.
Uh-huh. Because, oh yeah. I'm so excited for retirement.
Because I'm like, what is going on? Like, you know,
we're 100%.
We're not meant to work all the time.
I don't think so. Like, and it's weird because it's like, you're thinking like, oh, what is my life outside of a work? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you do like, what am I doing? Like, am I, yes.
And they were like,
who am I?
And like the beauty of it is I don't identify. I have a day job. I have a day job. And so, for the listeners out there, we actually are part of a podcast group and a group that we chat on a regular basis. So I actually don't identify with my day job. I don't think, I don't talk about it. Like, you know, this is what I do. It's a fun day job. I'm not going to say it's a fun one. But because of that period of time where I spend not attached to a job, not attached to a career, it allowed me to create an identity outside of it. I taken it to like, oh, I'm a podcaster, or I'm a blogger, or I'm this. And yeah, those are things that I do, but they're not who I am as a person. They're just like, you know, what I do. Like, how
exactly?
Time,
yeah. It's so crazy. And so, yeah. So it's like, this is a wild time because I am doing a lot of not like thinking, well, you know, analyzing and like, you know, journaling and like things like that. And so it's like a great time, but at the same time, it's also a scary time. And it's also like how, like when it's like, why do I need to define myself at the same time as well? It's like, okay, I'm a podcaster, writer, performer, like, but that's not like everything. It's like, I'm just human. Like when someone asks what I am, I'm just like, I'm a human. I'm a human.
I'm a human. I am multiple passionate, multi-creative. I try different things. I get out of their comfort zone. It's not your job. It's your identity. I think we just need to shift that identity. Like, what do you do? Like, it's such a, like, I thought it was a New York thing, but I feel like it's an LA thing. Like, what do you do? And then, like, what's your side hustle? What is your extra side hustle? You know, the expectation to have multiple things and to cook, you know, like to get that going.
Oh, totally. Like, it's the worst when, like, in LA, like, you know, when someone's like, oh, what do? You usually talk for like 5 minutes about everything that you do, you know?
Yeah.
And then, but like anywhere else where it's like, what do? And then, like, no one understands why you're talking for 5 minutes, you know, of like, wait, so, but what do? And you're like, oh, I walk dogs. Then I do this and I do that, but I really want to do this. But sometimes I do that. And they're just like, I don't want to talk to you for that long, lady. Get out of here.
it is all good. So just enjoy it and just enjoy the period of it. So
yeah, thank you. No, it's good to be reminded of that, and I appreciate that. And by coming on here, I'm enjoying it. I'm very excited to be back.
Yes, and the fact that we can do this in the middle of the day, you know,
isn't it wild? It's 11 o'clock for me, which is like, whoa, yeah, this is great.
And it's a 2 o'clock for me, and it's great. And I have the flexibility to do this. And like, I work really hard to get to that flexibility to get to this day. So, but yeah, so let's chat. So you've been reading, and this is the end of the year episode. So for those listeners, we're recording in November 29th. So there's probably a month left, but we're going to count like Goodreads where it ends between November to November or January to November. For best of 2022. So far, what have you been reading? What kind of books have you been diving into?
So lately, this is so crazy, but I recently, like a month or so ago, watched the show called Game of Thrones, which I hadn't seen in a while. Or in a while ever. I hadn't seen. I heard of the show called Game of Thrones, watched it. And so now I'm like, fantasy romance all the way, like, you know. So I've been reading Beck McMaster's I never know the titles, but it's like she's a thief. Oh, Thief of Souls.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's very good. It's the main character is like it's a female. The female is very like, I think like she's very flawed, which I like. And she's, well, because she's a thief, and not that being a thief is a flaw, but you know, you have some flaws if you're stealing stuff. And so I'm really, really enjoying it right now.
I love this. And so an estimate, how many books have you read this year?
This is, I didn't realize, and you could be like, Becky, like, what era are you living in? I didn't realize people count, first of all, like I did. So I was like, okay, well, I read it, at least 2 a month, you know, for the podcast, but I obviously read 2 a week for my life, you know. I think, but I didn't keep count. And then also listening to books, which I didn't count. I think like I'm gonna say between like 70 and 100, but and I know that's a big thing, but I just didn't count. So my New Year's resolution is to count. I'm going to count how many books.
So there's a couple ways you can do it. You can do it on Goodreads. You can add it as it'll do automatically in the challenge. You can keep a reading tracker. I have an Airtable. I have a spreadsheet. I track my reading. I have like
such a good idea.
How many Kindle Unlimited. I can send you my spreadsheet. So it's like you fill the form. Takes you like 2 minutes to fill the form. But you can track how many Kindle Unlimited, how many hours you spend, like, where did you get it? Did you get it from the library? Like, all those different data points. I like Goodreads. I spend with Goodreads for about, I would say, since 2016 all the way to 2021. And then I keep Goodreads in the spreadsheet in 2021 because I was like, well, I would like to have more data points. I also, thanks to the day job, I've become more proficient about Excel. So I like data, you know?
No, it's great. And I'm like, I have my Goodreads, but then sometimes I'm like, I will, like if someone gives you an ARC or something or a paperback, I'll completely forget that I won't write it down or I won't add it. And I'll be like, because I can look at my Goodreads and I can look at my Kindle, but then it's like, well, there's so many other books that like someone gave me a
or
copy
the
of. And like, Or audiobooks. Yeah. And like audiobooks, obviously, I feel like there are people who are like, that's not reading. It is reading.
It is
I know.
reading.
And so what, but then it's like, you can't keep track of it. I haven't been keeping track of it via Goodreads. So I'm just like, again, like I could be reading, like it could be like 200 books. And I didn't realize it.
It's a wild, wild west.
Yeah. Just the wild of my brain of just like how disorganized.
You know, it depends. It's up to you. Like, honestly, sometimes it can be really triggering to have a number, like to know the number. For me, it's like gold stars. I track it because I get a gold star every single time I finish a book. Like, that's just kind of like that matched my anxiety. But other people, that creates more anxiety to just track it. So it is okay. Like, it doesn't have to be like, you know, it is fine.
I agree. Because I think there are a lot of people, and I include myself in that, is just they always give themselves a hard time about reading. You know, like there's so many people who are like, oh, I don't have time to read books, or it takes me so long to read a book, and you feel bad about it. And it's like, just to feel bad. There's no like, we don't have this English teacher standing over our shoulders all the time being like, read this amount of books or else you're done, you know, like, and so I totally like understand the need to like, be like, okay, I don't need to keep track and it's fine.
Yeah. And you don't have to review every single book that you read, and nobody, you know, I think like you can do whatever you want. Like your reading experience is up to you. So
Yeah. It's not school, people. It's not school.
It's not school. Even the publishers are not grading you for reviewing books.
Oh, I hope not. Because they're like, although I like the part where they have sex and they're like, who is this dummy?
The spicy was really good. This book had mentioned cock and pussy. So we're happy with it.
Yeah. I was like, it has everything I needed, you know. Yeah. And they're like, thank you for sharing the blank, like just the bare minimum of like what this book is.
Awesome. All right, so let's chat some books. Okay, so what has been the top favorite book or favorite books for this year?
This year I did get into monster romance and alien romance. I did read The Librarian and the Orc, which I still talk about. I read it for the podcast, but I also like it's been, I think it's like one of the top books because like I feel like it had so much stuff that I didn't like in a romance but that I loved at the same time. Like it wasn't like, to me it wasn't sexy, but I also, well, it was sexy. Oh no, see, this is the point, is that it makes me think, you know what I mean? Like there's so much stuff in those books where it's like things are so subverted, and to some people there's like, oh, there's so many fluids and that's so gross, but then it's like, is it gross and what do I think is gross? And like, you know, so it's like I think it's like monster romances that I think have been like making me question like sexual standards of society. And also it's like people having sex, like don't get me wrong, there's like hot sex and cock and pussies, but like, you know, it also like gets me in my head of like what is sexy and like what is patriarchy. And I just love it. That's just like been my hobby of the year, has been like really dissecting alien and monster romances.
All right, so as a newbie starting out for alien monster romances, what do you recommend for me to pick up?
I would say Ruby Dixon. I mean, I think that's probably going to be an answer to a lot of, or I feel like that's going to probably be a lot of people's answers, because I think like it's been so popular. It's on TikTok. There's CNN article about it, like all that stuff. But I feel like if you really want to get in, let me look up her name. But if you really want to get into like, oh, what is monster romance? Like, let me like really dissect it. I think the Finley Fenn's books are key. They're longer, I will say, but they're dense. It really holds your hand as you like kind of, as you, because you know, like I feel like when people are like monster romance, oh my god, like fucking an orc, that's insane. But it's like, and it's scary. It's scary to think about when you're like opening this book for the first time. But I feel like it really hold, like she really holds your hand and is like, this is, get ready, I got you, don't worry, this is scary, but it's sexy scary.
Yes, I love this. Any other standout books or any other genres, so you're just like, okay, these were standout books to read or from the podcast, or like these were great episodes to listen, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like standouts for me, I read Rachel Grant's The Fiona Carver series, which is a duology, which I loved. And Toni Anderson, who's also my favorite author, had a new book out too in the Cold Justice series. So I loved those. And then I did read, this is an older series. I think it like the last book was in 2019, but it's the Vengeance series by Kayla Cross, which I've been enjoying so much. It's like a romantic suspense series. And it's like about these like female assassins who are all being targeted, and they all have to like work together to like stop the assassin. But then, you know, there's like a sexy like FBI agent by their side, but like they're so badass and they're all like friends, and they're like, you know, they there's a sisterhood there in each book. And it's just, I've been really, really digging those.
Those are sounds so good. I think those are probably going to be my introduction, and then go to the monster. I kind of have to play around with it, you know. I've done my fair share of Robin Dixon, and they're great. They're easy to consume.
Yeah,
but I think I've heard Family Fan, I've heard like the Sienna Costa, and I'm like, they sound great on paper, but I'm still like afraid to jump into the pool.
Which I get, and like as I was like reading it, like there were parts that like made me uncomfortable, and it wasn't until the end. You know, those books where it's like at the end, you're like, this was the most brilliant thing I've ever read. And like, that's how I view like Ruth V. Dixon. And like this book is like, this is uncomfortable. Like, oh my God, am I into bestiality? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, you know, whatever. And then it's like, this was fucking brilliant.
All right. So we also got to talk about some disappointments, and we don't have to dive into a lot, but maybe like one or two disappointments or one disappointment that you're just like, you know, was a miss for me, but it can be a hit for you. You just don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. So back a few months ago, there was like this like funny thing going around of the Conquered by Clippy was a like funny erotica that was like going around on like screenwriter Twitter, and they thought it was so funny. And I have a friend who's a TV writer, and he contacted me and he was like, have you read this? And I was like, no. And he's like, can I come on the show and review this with you? And I was like, sure. Because obviously I have to read a thing called Conquered by Clippy. And the thing is that I read anything, I love everything, like, but I was disappointed because I wanted Clippy erotica. Like it wasn't sexy enough. And I'm saying this as someone who wrote this, like I know this person wrote it as a prank. And like, it was a joke with them and their friends. Doesn't matter. I was very disappointed because I wanted, hornier, I needed hornier, dialogue and explanations in this book. And it didn't deliver. And, great premise, bad execution. Sorry, but that was my biggest disappointment. Yes.
I love how it came from screenwriters' Twitter, you know. Like, it's the wrong thing. Yeah, this is like from another culture, you know.
Yeah, it's like another like writing culture. Like, and I will say it is like, you know, predominantly men, like who are still kind of like, you know, they're like, oh yeah, like getting around to like, oh, there's romance. Oh, like, oh, sex. People write about sex, and it's like, you write about sex, except you put it on TV, you know? And then it's like, oh wait, like they're now getting around to the idea that there's also romance novels out there. And so it's like, they're like, it was like, they're like two steps behind. And it's like, when my friend contacted me about Conquered by Clippy, and I was just like, yeah, I've read so much crazier shit, like, haven't you heard of Chuck Tingle, like all this stuff. And it's like, okay, not everyone is in like romance landia world like we are, like, you know.
I love this. All right, so let's talk about 2023. So what are you anticipating reading, you know?
Well, Rachel Grant and Toni Anderson are coming out with new books, which I'm excited about. I do want to kind of explore this fantasy romance more, and kind of like really like, I just was never something that was like I was into, because I thought it was so confusing, but now it's like, oh okay, I'm ready for it. I do want to read more monster romance. But yeah, I think the authors that I'm looking forward to are Rachel Grant and Toni Anderson. I mean, every year they're just like my, like I stalk them like they're my best friends, and they don't know me at all. But I just like love their books. They both are coming out with like new series that's like, like it's part of their series, but it's like a, what is it when it's like a right, like a spinoff of a series. Yes. They have spinoff series. Both of them are coming out with new spinoff series, which I'm very excited about. Cause it's always exciting when that happens. And it's like, oh, okay. I love when your favorite authors do that. So it's exciting. I love this.
And have you read Aquatar? Now that I have to ask that, you know, it's popular in TikTok. It's popular everywhere.
Mm-mm.
Fantasy romance. No. All right. So I would say the first book is kind of like very, very slow. The first book, the first half of the book.
What's the first book?
A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Okay. I did start it and I could not. It was so slow.
It's really slow. So just ignore it. I would say, like, if you're reading a Kindle, just look for the mountain and get to the mountain. Because the first part is just like painting. It's just like just chilling in the house. And I'm like, I don't freaking care about this.
I was so bored.
But
so
the
bored.
Second book is so good. Like, you have to get to the second book. The second book is like the best. The third book is fine. But the second book is like, you're like, what just happened here? And it's so good. So by far, it's like, it's worthwhile just to slog through the first half. If you just like skip to the mountain, you do need to know about the mountain because it does show up in the second book.
Mm-hmm.
But the mountain is like when things pick up. And so things happen in the mountain and they're like, you know, so.
Listen, if I, you know, years ago, I tried to watch Game of Thrones, couldn't get through it. I did it recently. And I feel like if I can do that, then I will definitely pick up A Court of Thorns and Roses again. I will try. I am making this vow on this podcast. You can hold me to it.
Just let me know once you get to a Court of Mist or once you get to the mountain, then you're just going to be like, okay, I got to the mountain. Now what? You know?
Okay. Just get to the mountain. But I love that. It's also like a good like life lesson. Of just like, just get to the mountain, man. Just keep
get
going.
To the mountain.
Get to that mountain. I don't know what it means, but just keep going and get to that mountain.
Yeah. Once you get there, it picks up and then you're just like ready to go for the next book. I read those two books back to back and then I had to wait for the third book. And so I think my experience was like not as good for the third book. It was just like, there was a cliffhanger in the second book. So you're like, oh my God, I need the third book right away. I was like annoyed that I had to wait for it. I would say for her books, that's probably the worthwhile reading because Throne of Glass is very long and it's very tedious. Mm-hmm. And you have to go through different character arcs and different things. Like, I have not finished Throne of Glass. I started again. I try to reread it again. And I'm stuck in book five. I'm stuck in the same place that I got stuck like 4 or 5 years ago. So that would say like now. And then Crescent City is just really long and like nothing happens. Like so, I would just, you know, I think don't hate me if you love Crescent City. Good for you. I've not read the second book. I read the first one. It took me like about a year to read it. It's too long. You know, these books need an editor.
And like that's the thing with like fantasy is that like my brain can only hold so much information. And listen, I'm reading these books, like the love story is what I want, you know, like that's why. So it's like, I love the idea of world building, and I think it's like I really respect writers who can come up with all these different like elements of the world, but if it's eclipsing the romance part of it, I'm just like, it's so hard for me to be invested.
Yeah, I need the romance. I need like the stuff. I like politics and the stuff, like how things get around and stuff. Like I like the politics a lot. But I think when it's too much show and tell, like show me, like, you know, brain down of like blah blah blah, and this world did this and this world. I'm like, I get bored. I'm a plot driven person, so I need to be moved by the plot. I cannot be character study doesn't work for me, you know.
Yeah.
Or and like 90%. Yeah.
Yeah. For like, and it's like side characters that like, I mean, for me, it's like it's always about the two main characters because it is a romance, or you know, two however many people are in this relationship. So when it's like a side character and it's like they die all of a sudden in like the third act, and then the character, like your main character, is like really sad, and you're like, oh fuck, I was not. Sorry. You're like, oh no, like, I wasn't invested, and now this character is really sad, and I didn't care about what the character cared about, and I'm just a terrible reader.
No, I really much. I'm like, unless there's a purpose behind a side character, I don't care about them unless there's a purpose behind, unless they're doing something for it. You know, and the death is like, I hate when that happens because I'm like, no, I don't want them to be grieving. Like,
no, yeah.
I want them to already have grief. Like, you know, most romance novels, their parents already died or something like that. And so they already have gone through the major grieving process. I'd rather be like in this place where I'm like, I already have been grieving. And so here I am trying to build my new life. That's the character that I feel like, you know.
I agree. Because like, I think, I mean, again, there was a thing on yesterday on romance Twitter, which I am still going on, which I know I need to get off. I feel like I'm walking into a dumpster fire on Twitter. But like, again, there was like the other, like, what does a happily ever after mean? Like, you know, versus like then versus now. And, you know, it's talking about like, you know, and so people were talking about optimism and like, you know, the romance novels are supposed to be like, have a level of optimism, no matter what that HEA is. And so I think like, I love that optimism. And so seeing a character get their life together, like even the journey itself is optimistic. And I think that's why I like it too. You know, it's not necessarily like, oh, at the end, their life is together, goodbye. You know, it's like, yeah. Oh, you see them putting the pieces together and working hard and failing and not believing in themselves and then believing in themselves, you know.
It's all good stuff. I love it.
All good stuff.
So we got a whole year ahead of more fantasy, more romantic suspense, more monster romance, you know, and more podcasts. So tell us about the podcast.
Yeah. So I host a podcast called Too Stupid to Live, of which you have been a guest and I have so much fun and you're always welcome back. But it's a podcast that reviews romance novels $5 and under. The weirder, the better. And I also have episodes called Hot as Hell with TSTL, where I talk with romance authors and other like people in the romance world, just about what they're working on. And yeah, that's pretty much TSTL in a nutshell.
I love this. And where can we find it?
Yeah, we can find it on Apple Podcasts. And I was about to say Pandora. I don't know why. I meant Spotify. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and TSTLpodcast.com.
Awesome. I'm Becky. Where can we connect with you?
I am on the social medias at Beckles212. And my podcast is on social media at TSTL Podcast.
Thank you, Becky, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro.fm, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, there's a perfect way to squeeze into more reading to your busy life. Listen with the free Libro.fm app while you do your chores, walk your dog, relax at home. The Watch Read Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get 2 audiobooks on Libro.fm for the price of 1 with your first month of membership. Use code WATCHREADNEXT. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.